Question. I know this may not have been an easy morning to get out of bed and come to church. After all, there's pea soup out there. Been so much nicer to just stay under the covers. So tell me, why did you come to church this morning? Why did you come to church? Anyone? To praise God. Jason, why did you come to church? I thought he would point at his mother. Anyone else? Why did you come to church? To be with friends? Why did you come to church? You always do. Yeah? These are all good answers. Why did you come to church this morning, of all mornings, when you could have stayed in bed? King A, why did you come to church? Because you have to. Anyone else? Come on. Guilt? Oh, okay. It's an obligation. A habit. Yeah. These are all good answers. I mean, there are no bad answers among this mix.
Remember God's role in our lives.
Remember God's role in your lives? To keep the Sabbath day holy. Others? What? To see me. Oh, thank you. Any others? What?
Spiritual renewal.
Anyone else? Be inspired or not, you know? Okay. Responsibilities. Yeah, you're teaching a Sunday school class this morning, yeah. People are expecting to see your face and will be disappointed, will be sad when they don't see you. Yeah. All good. I'm not searching for a particular answer, but it's important to have a purpose. Isn't there? I mean, we have purposes for most everything else we do, don't we? Or do we? Do we have a purpose for why we go to work every day? Well, we got to put food on the table, got to pay the bills. Or if you've got a job that you find rewarding, there may be many other reasons why. You're like, why do you go to school? That's a very good question. Sometimes, what?
The law.
It's the law. Yeah? Having a reason, having a purpose for what you do. Now, there's a reason why I'm asking these questions, if you're wondering how this connects with that story, to what I just read and the story about, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to those folks in Thessalonica, he had a reason for saying what he did. And part of that had to do with some of the stuff that was going on at that time in that church. Now, one thing you need to remember is that the early church, and these letters from to the Thessalonians are believed to be some of the earliest written material in the New Testament. And the earliest believers, followers of Jesus, lived with an expectation that Jesus was going to return at any moment. Of course, we who live a couple thousand years down the road know that that didn't exactly happen, did it? And the earliest believers had to struggle with that expectation and what it means that doesn't happen. Now, from reading earlier in this letter, and we read a little bit in it last week, the folks in Thessalonica had some itinerant preachers coming around, and there was a problem in the early church with itinerant preachers. That is, preachers who would come around and come and share and then move on. And some of them were sort of undermining the local ministry of the church. Now, Apostle Paul was an itinerant minister too, but he was saying some of the things he did because there were itinerant preachers coming around and just sort of mooching off the people. And some of them were sharing things that were really disrupting the fellowship there, saying things like, well, Jesus already came. It's already happened. Kingdom's already come. And a lot of people were kind of wondering, what's going on? Did I miss it? You know, and part of what Paul was trying to combat this is that, no, you got to keep on going. You got to keep on keeping on. You just can't give up. You just can't say, oh, why? Why? What good does it do? They're just like many of us. So we're getting out of bed in the morning. What good does it do to get out of bed? What good does it do to eat? This is the basics, isn't it? What good does it do to go to work? Why bother? Why bother? Why go through what you got to go through? Now, that was back then, but I think that's also a relevant question for today. You know, as we face into the things we're doing on a regular basis. Why bother? You know, why bother coming to church? Now, we were given a lot of reasons for why we should bother. Because sometimes coming to church, sometimes being the church, is bothersome. You know, it disrupts our order, even as it adds order to our week. Now, I chose the translation I read, this newer translation, because of that word in there, discipline. Because I think it's more than just a matter of work. Sometimes we read this passage from 2 Thessalonians, and we in our good Protestant work ethic kind of mindset are thinking this is about work, 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 work. And many of us are very good at working and working and working. We may not know all the reasons why we're working. And then again, we do. But, you know, we're going through the motions. Discipline. Discipline is not, in this case, what you do to children to make a mind. Discipline. You know, we have arguments and, you know, over how to discipline a child, you know, whether it involved the rod, you know, the question of whether you should spank or not spank, you know, and things like that. But that's not really what discipline is all about. Discipline is about bringing order to your life. And there are things within the Christian church we call the disciplines that many of us have forgotten. Many of us are not so much in touch with. And there are disciplines that go beyond just showing up on a Sunday morning to church. There are personal disciplines to in this passage, I would encourage you not to just think about, you know, working to make money to put food on the table, but also think about your other food. You know, when it comes to the matters of faith and hope and the Spirit and stuff, I ask the question, what are you doing to feed your spirit on a daily basis? I mean, you come here on a, you know, I'm not the only cook here. I mean, that's what I hope to do on a weekly basis is to cook up a meal for you to eat to get you some spiritual sustenance. But, you know, you also are, like that little red hen, cooking up a pizza. You all are getting the ingredients on a daily basis. It's important for all of us to be. I'm not the only interpreter of Scripture, for instance, here. Are you connecting up, listening to what God is saying? Are you connecting with your Bible? Not just holding it out saying, I believe in the Bible, but are you opening it up? Are you spending time in it? And not just time that is, I got to understand it, otherwise I can't read this. You know, sometimes in with this Bible, it's a matter not just of studying it with the brain. It's a matter of encountering it with your whole being, with your heart, even when you don't understand some of the words. You know, a regular walk with God. You know, when I mentioned about as we were dedicating the prayer chain and the encouragement as you receive a request, whether that request be through the prayer chain or through the joys and concerns as they're sent out every week, that you bring these persons into, Did you note my use of the word regular times with God? However you do so. You know, every person has their own discipline. But the important part is to get a discipline. And a daily discipline, not just an every Sunday morning discipline. Connecting up with the Bible, of just prayer. And, you know, this doesn't have to be like monks and, you know, going into some little room, closed closet, though it can be. It can, you know, this can happen in a number of different places. You know, for some of us, I hear, for instance, John talks about taking, you get those scriptures that you listen to because you do an awful lot of driving, right? So there's where you're connecting. And I hear my brother Jeff talk about, you know, how on the road he does a lot of praying. You know, it happens at different points, but the important encouragement in this is don't lose heart. Keep it up. Now, we're nearing the end of a church year. Now, I've talked about this church year that actually begins, it'll not begin next Sunday. Next Sunday's coming to the culmination of the church year. It will begin in December this year with Advent. Advent is sort of like the real New Year's Day type of experience. And it begins with an expectation, you know, that sense of awaiting the Advent, the coming of our Lord. Whether we're thinking that coming as in the first time of the Jesus coming as a child, or that, you know, that culmination, that fulfillment of all things that is really a new beginning, the new heavens and new earth that the Bible speaks up about in so many different places. And it begins in December with just a yearning and a desire and a hope. That's how all New Years begin, don't they? All beginnings begin with such freshness and hope. But we are drawing to the end of a year. And next Sunday, Thanksgiving Sunday, and we will be giving thanks, but it is also in the church year, we call it various things. We call it Christ the King Sunday. We call it Reign of Christ. Now that's R-E-I-G-N. And, you know, the Reign of Christ Sunday. You know, that the end, the year ends by lifting up one of our real reasons for being. You know, the one who not only came to save us, but who comes and leads us on the path. So we are drawing to the end of a year. And I would encourage you not to lose heart as things come to an end, but to keep on keeping on. And I titled this Seasonal Discipline because we have lost a little bit in becoming a bit further away from our agrarian roots. You know, the brethren didn't begin in the cities. The brethren really flowered in the countryside. They were, when push comes to shove, when they settled in our history, they settled in places that were had abundant farmland. And brethren, we're always very connected to the seasons of the year. And one of the problems we face, like lots of people face now, is that we've sort of become a little bit divorced from that. I mean, are we fully in tune with the seasons of planting and reaping? I mean, some of us have that from our growing up. But do we have it as part of our awareness that there is a time to plant and there is a time to pluck up what is planted? There are seasons to the year, just like there are seasons to our lives. And we move through these seasons in the beginning, planting certain things, and the end, harvesting certain things. And my question to you is, what season of life are you currently in? And where in that season of life are you? Are you at the planting part of that season of life? Or are you closer to the reaping part of that season of life? I mean, some of us are you know, I think of some who are moving towards retirement, you know, ceasing the productive work years and moving into a time of what would you call it? Living off of what we have saved up. There are important things that have to happen. And as we shift from one season to another, it's important that we not lose heart through all of this. I mean, there are persons who enter retirement, for instance, and just give up. You know, they just sit. It's a ceasing of from work, and you know, when you don't labor, you know, such persons sometimes give up and die. Have you ever noticed that sometimes if you don't have something productive to do in a particular season of your life? My encouragement is to find what your purpose, what your passion is for this new season of your life. Some of us are in that time period when children have left the nest or are in the process of leaving. And sometimes that process is longer than for others, right? You know, okay, so what is, as we make that shift, what is the purpose, my mission, my passion, with God entering into the picture of all of this, for this new season of my life? And God does help with that passion part. God does help with that. I mean, God, in the seasons of our life, God seasons us. But it takes discipline. You got to work at it. But not work without purpose. Not work without hope. Not work without faith, but labor. Just one final thought on that word labor. We use that word labor to describe a lot of things, not just the work of our hands, but we use that word labor to describe something you just went through, right?
It was awesome.
It was awesome. But it's hard work. Okay, brothers and sisters, we've got kind of a Thanksgiving song now to sing. Which is it we're going to sing? Isn't it Come We Thankful People Home? Yeah. Okay. Number 94. Shall we stand if we are able and sing together?